morning, David. It's a good week. We won three more. 9-0. Beat the best team. In the bottom of the eighth yesterday, it was 4-4 up in Avon. And we scored two runs in the, the top of the eighth. And then we shut them out in the eighth and ninth. Brutus and our best player was injured, the shortstop. So we beat him without a shortstop. Yeah. How's Yolanda?
Good.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Good morning, Hassan. How are you? We're a little down. We're the Sunday after Easter. We're back to our normal family here, but. Any announcements this morning? I mean, I have a couple. First, next week I'm not going to be here because I'm going to be in. We have actually a weekend off after our baseball game, so we're going to go up to Maine for our houses and kind of do some work. So I won't be here. So I'm going to put together the bulletin with the scripture readings, the lectionary, and then I guess we're going to have a discussion group, right? Meeting in here. I guess you could do that in here. Yeah. So you just won't have me giving a sermon. But I'll have the bulletin all set. Yeah. Yeah. Bonnie, yeah. Yes. And that's on May 11th? Saturday, May. And that's next Saturday?
92.
Okay. Pam? Great. And they're in good health? Sort of? Yeah. But sure. Good.
Was that this
week, Wendy? Was he in an act, was sick, or he'd been sick for a while? What's his name?
Neil.
What's her name?
Donna.
Neil, Donna, okay. John. Yeah, she had been in the hospital, right? She'd been.
Yeah.
Are they gonna? Is she from here? This. Okay, keep her family in our prayers this morning. Oh, I wanna lift up Bev, who's back, and Russ, back from Florida with her. But still, they had Stacy lost her child this week, so. Child, yeah, in her pregnancy. So, and that's the second time. So, and so we want to. It's a, you know, we're talking about life. Just you don't know is you don't know what's coming down the path. You know, sometimes good things happen and sometimes difficult things happen because we're vulnerable beings in this world. But we gather together as a community to support one another. So, yeah. Yeah, that's a good sign, I guess. There's actually a young teacher that I work with in the dorm who's had to leave because her mother had a double lung transplant, and her mother's doing pretty well. I'm like, that's pretty amazing. Two lungs replaced. So it's Rita. Just know her name's Rita, so we'll keep Rita in our prayers, too. I just didn't know they could do that kind of surgery. Yeah. Right. Yes, Susan. I've talked to Susan a couple times a week. Friday is the last time, and she's getting a second opinion, a new doctor, and they think they can do some treatments that can reduce the pain. So she seemed a little bit more optimistic than she's been, which is a good sign. So she wanted me to share that with the congregation. You know, doctors, I guess the first doctor doesn't have a good bedside manner. I mean, that the healing process, which I always thought when I was in my 20s, a new minister, I thought, I wish I was a doctor so I could actually do something. Prayers, going in, sitting in the hospital and saying a prayer. I realized over the years, just that presence, a warm, caring presence with somebody who's coming, is as much more healing than the medicine we get. It's so important. And so this new doctor seems to be... hopefully he's working well with her and giving her more of a positive outlook on her, what could happen. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning.
Yeah. We're just going through our announcements and celebrations and prayer concerns. Do you have any things particular? Yes. It's the second synagogue shooting in a few months. It's really terrible. And it's there's actually a gathering I'm going to try to go to tomorrow night they'll probably address this in the Albanian mosque in Waterbury with Rabbi Polakoff, my good friend, and Father Donnelly from Southbury, and Ghazi, the imam there. All talking about Joseph from a Jewish, Muslim, and a Christian perspective. And they've had, this is the third meeting. They have one in the synagogue, they have one at the Catholic Church in Southbury, and now at the mosque. It's not Willow, it's another. No, that's Al Mustafa. That's not the one. This is the Albanian mosque, and it's not on Willow. I can't think of the name of it because I haven't been there yet. I'm going to try and. Who's Raymond Street? It's the one on Raymond. I don't know. Yeah. So it's open to the public. It's start 7 to 8:30 tomorrow night. So I imagine they'll probably speak more about, you know, probably address the shooting in the synagogue at some point for sure. But they're going to talk about Joseph and looked at from a Muslim, Jewish, and Christian perspective in the Bible. But it's been a great turnout. So they had 400 people, I guess, at the Catholic Church for the last one. So trying to bring people together in our community from, you know, the Abrahamic faith traditions. We're all connected through Abraham. Yeah. Are we ready? I think Alan's ready to start some music here, right?
Very moving. It was
they're pretty amazing. They are.
They really
were,
yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Yes. All right, I'm going to sit down. God's strong and loving hands are outstretched to all creation. God's open hands are as the gate of righteousness. In God's hands are new life, strength, and salvation. And join our opening hymn, "Yours is the Glory, Resurrected One," 253 in the New Century Hymnal.
And this is the
And let us come together in a time of prayer for the prayer of invocation. Let us pray. O risen Christ, be with us this day. We recognize your wounded hands. They tell us that you know what it is to struggle and suffer and to prevail in the power of love. We grasp those hands that they may lead us together into a deeper place of peace. Our week has left worries, answerless questions, blatant injustices, and unexpected disappointments. We are weary. Come, O risen Christ, and receive our burdens as we empty our cares into your loving hands. Extend to us your joy. Give us imagination enough to pursue your abundant life. Pour into us the freshness of your new life, for you are our strength and our might. How wonderful you are for your loving kindness toward us. Amen and alleluia.
God's grace and blood.
I think I'll come down here with the people again, as I did last week. So last week, we're reading the Easter story, right, from John. We're continuing that same chapter this week. We got the story where Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. She sees that it's empty, and you got the two disciples, Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, go to the tomb. They see that it's empty, and then they go back to their homes. But Mary stays there, and she actually encounters Jesus, thinking he's the gardener, right? Encounters him, and he says, go and tell my brothers and sisters that I'm ascending to God. And so she runs and tells them everything Jesus said. So that's where we are. So now it's the evening of that day, right? The evening of that day. On the evening of that day, being the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus appeared to his disciples, and he said, peace be with you. And when he said this, he showed his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad that they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As God sent me, even so I send you. And after he said this, he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus appeared. So the other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the mark in the print of the nails in his hand, put my finger in the mark of the nails, and take my hand and place it in his side, I will not believe. 8 days later, they were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus again appeared to them, and he said, peace be with you. And he said to Thomas, put out your finger and put it in my hand, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing. And then Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, do you believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that were not written in this book. But these were written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, you will have life in his name. Amen. I just want to get that word believing right, because remember, it's not just believing, it's beloving, it's befriending, it's becoming one with Christ, it's following Christ, it's imitating Christ. You know, this great book from the 14th century, Thomas A. Kempis, The Imitation of Christ, to imitate Christ to the best of our ability, to follow the way of love, the way of compassion. So it's not just believing, I believe, you know, that's not what it's about. It's about beloving. Remember that? That's what it really means. But I don't know. That's a little aside. I'm wondering where to go with this. I've been thinking about a million things this week with this gospel reading. I could talk about Thomas, doubting Thomas. Talk about St. Thomas who went and started the church in India, southern India. That dates back to the first century. Kerala. And then even Sri Lanka, where they had the terrible bombings of four churches. 350-some-odd people killed, 500-plus maimed. Horrific. Senseless. The early Christian church was founded by Thomas in Sri Lanka. Dates back 2,000 years in India. It's amazing. Or I could talk about the spear of Longinus that hit Jesus' side. That Roman soldier, centurion, who threw that spear. And that spear has been, and what happened, he supposedly, the story is that that soldier had an eye problem, infection. And when he threw the spear and blood and water comes out, according to the scriptures, that the blood of Jesus went into his eyes and cured him. That's the story. But that spear has been coveted by kings and nobles and dictators and ruthless dictators through the centuries. People have fought over it. Some people think the spear is in a church in Armenia, dating back, that Thaddeus, one of the disciples, brought, the apostles brought the sword there. Some people think it's in the Vatican, but the real sword probably, if it's is in Austria. And when, remember, in 1938, Hitler goes into Austria and he takes it, the spear, because he thinks it has this magical power. Even if these things don't have power, when you believe in something, it has power. It's the belief. You know, I remember studying anthropology in college. I think it was Margaret Mead, anthropologist, talked about witch doctors in a certain African country, and they would put a spell on somebody, you're going to die on March 25th or whatever, and the person would actually die, because that's the power of belief, when you believe in something so strongly. So the spear of Longinus was something that Hitler believed in, and but I didn't... That's not what I wanted to talk about. Those are just, but I want to talk about God's, the vulnerability of God, and the vulnerability of our lives. I'm hearing, you know, some of these prayer concerns and what a lot of people are going through in their lives. So many struggles. I mean, somebody once said, we're kind of soft, fleshy beings, round beings, in a world with sharp edges. It's always stuck with me. I don't know if they said it exactly that way, but it's true. We're in a world of sharp edges, and we can't deny that. There's no way out of that. When I talk about my Buddhism class, the way to talk about it is impermanence. Life is impermanent. Every moment is changing and fleeting, passing away. There's no way out. One of my favorite books by Pema Chodron, a Buddhist teacher, is Living with Uncertainty. How do we ground ourselves in our spiritual faith with uncertainty in the world? It's, you know, Jesus' death on the cross and his suffering is showing how we think of the all-powerful God. Where is God when they have the Holocaust? And that's the thing. People in writing literature, Elie Wiesel, all the Holocaust writers, trying to figure out where is God? Where is truth? Why does this what happened? Where is God with the Sri Lanka bombings and the synagogue shooting yesterday and the... And all these, actually, there were three black churches in Louisiana about a month ago who were burned. That was a hate crime. We didn't hear much about that. Nobody was killed, but the churches were burned. Where is God in all this? We think all-powerful God's going to intervene, but God is also vulnerable. God is with us in our suffering and struggles. This is, Jesus didn't know. I don't think Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen to him. Do you think he did? He says, Father, take this cup from me. He's struggling in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's struggling with what's going to happen. This pain, you know. So we are vulnerable beings. There's a really interesting piece on Netflix. Brene Brown, just discovered her. She did a TED Talk a few years ago and talking about vulnerability. And it's something interesting to watch if you get Netflix. She's a sociologist, I guess, and really a great speaker. But she talks about the need to take risks in life. You know, and she leaves a few examples, like to be the first one in a relationship to say, I love you, and the fear of being rejected. To take on a challenge where you might well fail, but you're going to try it anyhow. Be willing to fail and take risks, not play it safe, because it's not a safe world anyhow. But we barricade ourselves and we numb ourselves to life with all of our struggles and, you know, all the tragedies and the things that happen. And good things happen, too. Good things break into our lives, of course. But it's, in the end, it's, we live in a world that is impermanent. And we're only here for a brief amount of time. So I've come to, and this is where I'm at in my theology these days, and comes from reading all different religious traditions, too. I think we're called to love in a world like this, despite all of the problems, despite that our lives are finite, at least our physical lives. I think there's more, I believe, the spiritual realm. I believe that it doesn't end with this life. But in this life filled with hardship and injustice and so much human misery and suffering, we're called to love. That's Jesus on the cross, this self-sacrificial giving love in a world like this, where the world wants to teach us other things, ways, you know, power and might and strength, and crush the opponent, crush the enemy. Now, that is absolutely not the God that we see in Christ. You know, Richard Rohr, who John loved, and I really loved too, and he said that there was the first incarnation was the Big Bang, the creation of the universe. God incarnate, flesh, that matter and spirit come together in this creation of the universe. And then he says the second incarnation, God comes in the form of Christ, in the human body, in the flesh. You know, I always had this, there's always this picture outside, my mother being Catholic, outside, I must have positioned that picture right there, so my brother and I, we shared a room, bunk beds. I was sitting right out there, and every like the light would just shine on it, and we were going to bed. Jesus, you know, the Catholic with the halo and kind of little blonde highlights in his hair, you know, blue eyes or something. But I, and it's got the Sacred Heart, it's got the bleeding heart. So I'm looking at that, and I'm trying to figure my brother out, how is he the Son of God and God at the same time? Who is this? I mean, it just didn't make any sense. I just struggled with that, thinking about that. And I didn't think about it too much, but it was always there, you know. When you don't have, the difference between making a pastoral visit in a Protestant house, there aren't many religious icons or statues and things around, but anytime I go into a Catholic person's house, they have usually have prayers and statues of St. Joseph and Mary. It's kind of nice. It's and I really just believe that Jesus is the incarnation of God. I do believe that God coming to us in a human body and experiencing all the things we experience as humans, all the suffering and the struggles, you know. It wasn't just like he didn't just get nailed to the cross, oh, I can do this, this is fine. He's just like us. He's just like us. He's just fully human, fully divine. And so we need to just practice and keep practicing the way of love and compassion in a world like this. But I don't think anymore, though, we can just say our thoughts and prayers are with you regarding these hate crimes around. I think it's called to action. Prayer has to turn into action to get things done, to make a difference in our, you know, that's it. When I hear that now, I think, yeah, prayer is important, but prayers have to come to life in a form of action to do something. Why would we have so much hatred? You look at this, I just saw on the news this morning that young kid, you know, white kid, middle class kid from going to college in San Diego, how could he be filled with such rage and hatred to go into the synagogue? What happened to him? What happened to him? It's mind-boggling. The same thing in the mosques in New Zealand a few weeks ago. And then these churches, how could they, where is this hatred coming from? I know we're, and another thing that Brene Brown talks about is that we're imperfect. We're striving for perfection is one of our problems. Striving for to be perfect. That we should say to our children, instead of saying, oh, you're a perfect little thing, say, you're imperfect, you're bound, destined for struggle, but you belong and God loves you. Yeah, because this is one of the problems with Nazi Germany, to try and perfect things. I know it tends to these prep schools, these high-end educationalists, we try and be perfect, perfection. I'm not one of those people myself, but except doesn't mean we don't strive to be the best we can be and have goals and dreams and all those things, but there's the point we need to be content with ourselves and our imperfections and know that everyone else is imperfect and still we all belong to God. We're all interconnected. We're all one. So, what's my message here? Can somebody sum it up? Is there anything of value here in what I'm saying? But I'm just trying because I'm thinking, you know, Beth, Stacy, and Matthew losing a child, and that whole struggle and having to make a difficult choice and enjoy life. It's here in the heart. Courage, from the French cœur or from the Latin cœur, is heart. Having courage, you have heart and soul, and you're willing to take on challenges to make this a better world. And it will hurt, and you will fail, and you know that in this whole civil rights movement, there are failures, there are people jailed, they lost jobs, they were assassinated. Whistleblowers in the government or in corporations are saying we're doing something wrong. They lose their job. The family loses their house. There's a lot of struggle when you have the courage to do what you think is right rather than just go with the flow. It's hard.
And it's the coming together like this. And like when you're going,
Without that, we're lost. Without that heart, and it's the community we built. And so we have a community here. We connect with the community there. We come together, and it builds, and it builds. And I'm not one of those people who thinks it always has to be this way. We can transform the world one person at a time by transforming ourselves in a small group, and then it spirals out. And I know I have a big job before me with teaching some of the students. You know, some are so enlightened in some ways, and some are so indifferent and don't realize to what's really happening. And that's, but I see so much promise in some of them, and others I see such callousness and indifference, like that kid in San Diego. And we have to create a different atmosphere in this country, don't we? Really, what are American values? What is it that we love about our country? What are the things we want to embrace and uphold? How do we want to live? I mean, anyhow, I'm rambling on now, so I'll stop. But it's I really do believe that Christ is present with us. I wonder when my younger ministry, what I'm talking about the resurrection, but then over the years I've done so many funerals, just reaching down into the dirt and putting, doing the sign of the cross. It's like when Jesus said on the cross, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." I really believe that something is happening. I know it. Something is happening. But you know, when Jesus was on the cross, there were two things. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." But in the other one, he goes, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He said, Psalm 22, he feels forgotten and abandoned. So he's going through the struggles we go through. We feel forgotten and abandoned when tragedy happens in our lives. Why me? Why is this happening? But we haven't been abandoned. The humanness of Christ, absolutely. I for me too, the human. What's different, and it's not saying one's better or different. For Jews, it's the incarnation of God is the Torah, in the Torah. For Muslims, it's in the Quran. You know, because when you go to the synagogue, you know, I take kids there on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, and they open the big, where we would have the cross, they have the big cylinder container, and they bring out the Torah, and you know, they parade it around. That's it. And then in the Quran, I had a copy of the Quran. One of my Muslim students said, "Mr. Gadong, could you please take that other book or other?" I had some object on top of the Quran. The Quran has to be placed up high, highest place in the room. I thought, wow, I'll never do that again. And then, but for us, the incarnation of God is in a person. It's in the human. It's in the Christ, who's both human and divine. But he's very human. He walked on this earth like us. He suffered all the setbacks and struggles we have. But he's now, what is this thing, the Holy Spirit? Ruha. Pneuma in Greek, Ruha in Hebrew. It's the breath of life. The Holy Spirit is our breath. And I was going to read to the kids about breathing, and it's in the Buddhist tradition. The breath is everything. In all of the spiritual traditions, it's the breath, the life force within us. So the Holy Spirit is right here. We're breathing in and out. I had an old rabbi friend in Maine, wonderful guy, Rabbi Sky. He's like a mystic. Go to lunch with him, and he'd close his eyes, and he'd go, Yahweh, the word God, Yahweh, breathing in, breathing out. That was his mantra. That was his connection to God. It's the breath, the breathing. That's why in yoga and Buddhism, we talk about it in Christianity and Judaism, it's the indwelling Christ, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is here. Just start breathing in and out. That's it. God bless. I did bring my bell. So why don't we just breathe, feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and listen to the sound of the bell. It'll take us down to that space within our hearts. gracious and loving God, one who's fully present in the human Christ, who, Jesus, who walked this earth, and in the resurrected Christ, who's present with us today. We come here to be strengthened by this community, filled with love, filled with caring, community that wants to support each other and go out into the world and work to build a more just and peaceful and sustainable community, nation, world. We come here to be empowered. Be reminded that your Holy Spirit is always present to us, your presence, no matter how difficult our lives can become. We give you thanks for all the joys we sometimes take for granted, that I know I take for granted. The little things and the people in our lives that we take for granted, the people we love dearly. We're particularly mindful this morning of Neil and Kathy St. Jacks, who have gone before us, who've died. We entrust them to your care. We're mindful of Donna. We think of course, Matthew and Stacy. We lift them up in prayer. And Rita and Wendy, both getting lung operations. And Chris. And we're grateful that Don and Margie will soon be joining us again. We pray for their safe travel. We think of a lot of people right now in our own lives and world that we'd like to pray for. We know the power of prayer is great. It connects us to people, no matter if they're here in this community or on the other side of the earth. We're particularly mindful of the families in Sri Lanka who've lost loved ones, who are maimed and injured. We're mindful of our brothers and sisters right here in this country, in San Diego, in the synagogue. And there are other concerns we have, and we think about them in our own hearts and minds right now, and lift them up to you. We pray that you'll just give us the strength for the week ahead, that we'll be able to cope with the things we're struggling with, and then be conscious and aware of the beauty around us as springtime. Everything becomes green, the leaves come out, the flowers and the birds singing, and so much incredible beauty in this world, in this universe. Let's give us strength that we may walk on the path that Christ walked, that we may be a blessing to others in this world. Now let us pray together the prayer which Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I wonder if it feels a little limp. Bev's not here and Leslie's not here. They're just, we miss them. But. Well, closing hymn is the Day of Resurrection, New Century, Hymnal 245. Let us pray together. By the power of your Spirit, O God, imbue us with the power of the risen Christ's wounded hands. May the power make us one in you. May that unity cause us to love as mightily as you. May your love move us to use our hands as you do, to do works of care and justice for your beloved earth and all its people, works that heal, free, plant, hug, write, show, speak, and grow. Give us grace and strength for abundant life, for this is the day that God has made. Let us go forth, rejoice, and be glad in it. Amen and Alleluia.